Okay, let's begin. I don't have notes today, so you have to follow what I am preaching. This morning we are going to talk about the topic of gratitude. Gratitude is a very, very important virtue, okay, especially for Christians. And it can go well with the series of who is a mature Christian, right? We have been going through the series of someone, a Christian who is mature. I think we said that he's a forgiving person, then he knows how to control his tongue. And I would say this is also a mark of a mature person. And that is, he has gratitude in his life. What does it mean? What does gratitude mean? Gratitude means thankfulness. A person who is thankful, who counts his blessings, he notices the simple pleasures of life. He acknowledges everything that he has received. Very important, right? He acknowledges everything that he has received. You know, and this is what gratitude is. Webster's dictionary says it's an emotion of the heart excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodness, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill toward a benefactor, thankfulness, a disposition to make a suitable return of benefit or service, or when no return can be made, with a desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy. Webster says that this virtue is the virtue of highest excellence. Interesting. Highest excellence. So, gratitude is awareness and acknowledgement of goodness in one's life. Okay? Awareness and acknowledgement of goodness in one's life. It's a sense of appreciation toward God and toward other people. Who have been good to us. So I think these are great definitions that we have gone through. And you know, these things, if we have these things in our life, it's going to shape our character. A person who has gratitude, he is going to be a different kind of person. And it is true, right? A thankful person is surely a person of good character. I mean, we all automatically, someone is a thankful person who is thankful for what you have done, who is thankful towards God, we automatically notice those kind of people. They seem to be of good character. They seem to be content, right? And they seem to be happy. They seem to be some people who are not bitter and hateful and, you know, always complaining about things. So it is true, it is a virtue of highest excellence, and you know that, why? Because those kind of people are different. You can see it in their life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days difficult times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." So unthankfulness is the opposite of being grateful, to have gratitude. It's to be ungrateful and unholy. Okay, so in the last days, we see that this will be a major, major problem in society, in the world, that people will be unthankful. Man, and that shows in actions, right? If a person is thankful, their actions will be different. And what is ingratitude? What is unthankfulness? Unthankfulness is forgetfulness or poor return for kindness received. Poor return for kindness received. And this is going to be big in the days to come. And it is true, you know, more as we go, as we pass on, as the generations pass on, as the time of Christ comes, people are more concentrating on things that they don't have than what they already have. Now, and that is a setup for unthankfulness. When I start thinking and concentrating on things that I don't have, automatically gratefulness is going to go out of the window, right? And that is a problem in society, I think. Like, people in the world and people around us, our friends, I don't know if you notice, in the company or, you know, people who are in the world, they're always talking about things that they don't have or the things that they don't like or the things that people should have done for them and they did not do. They don't talk about what they have, what people have done for them. God forbid they talk about that. But they'll be always be talking about what people have not done for them. You know, and these things will make you unthankful. Because you are not thinking about what people have done for you. You are thinking about what they have not done. And that will make you unthankful. And that is going to show in the character. And I think that is the reason in the last days people are going to be more and more unthankful. Because they have been programmed to always go after things that they don't have. Go after things we don't have. Man, work hard. Slog. You know, work for the body that you don't have, right? Work for the house that you don't have. Work for the car that you don't have. Work for the job that you don't have. Just go after things that you don't have. Media is always constantly bombarding us with things that we don't have. Now that we cannot afford, and we cannot afford it. And that makes us, you know, concentrate and think about what we don't have. And that's why we become unthankful. And we have been programmed that way from childhood. Because our friends were ungodly. Maybe we were raised in an ungodly family. And we were around ungodly people. And we also took on that nature. But how about, like, we change our attitude? How about we talk about things that we have? How about we talk about things that we already have and be like, wow, I have this. Isn't that great? And, you know, those things will make us grateful people. How about we talk about things that our friends and our relatives have done for us? You know, many times children talk this way to their parents. What have you done for me? Man, like, that would hurt a parent, right? And I have heard this, like, parents, children talking like this to their parents. What have you done for us? But, you know, if we concentrate on things that they have done for us already, people have done for us, you know, that will bring great, great gratefulness. Man, that will be such good character. That will build such good character. And, you know, this character pleases God like anything. And the same is with God. How about we thank God for the things He has given us? Instead of always concentrating on things which God could have given us. Automatically, thanks and praise will come out of our heart. I mean, things could be worse, you know, really. Things, no matter how bad your situation is, it could be worse. And, you know, there are people in this world that have worse problems than you. Right? If I'm not handicapped, if I have two hands and two feet, there are thousands and millions of people who don't have hands and feet. I was looking at a soldier who came back from Afghanistan, and he went there in one of the best physique, and he came back with no limbs at all, no hands, no legs. I mean, imagine. Imagine what a blow that must be. I mean, to a young man of 25, I can imagine if someone who's been born that way, but a young man of 25, who's like on top athlete, coming back like that. Man, that is something to go through. And you know what that man is going through? He's going through it. He says that bad things do happen to people. I don't think he's a Christian, but, you know, non-believers have such a good, grateful orientation to life. You know, this is what is it to have a grateful, to have a heart of gratitude orientation toward life. But, you know, the world around you will be filled with opposite kind of people. Don't look at them. You know, look at people who are grateful. Look at them and see them for an example. I was thinking about this example of someone who forgot goodness And this was that butler whom Joseph helped. Joseph helped him save his life. I mean, someone saving your life. Can you imagine? He was going to be put on the gallows and hung. And Joseph saved him. And he told him, remember, remember me when you... I don't think Joseph saved him, but yeah, Joseph ministered to him. He was good to him. But he said, remember me when you come get out of here. And he, you know, forgot about it. In Colossians 3 verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. So we have been called to one body. So this one body is the church. And you know, God wants us to be thankful in this body. God wants us to be thankful for our friends, for our wife, for our husband, and not to be looking at the unthankful things in people's life, really. This can happen a lot in the marriage, right? And also kids. I mean, we cannot constantly be looking at the bad things in our children. And why is he doing like this? Why he should be doing it like this? Why he's like this? Why he's like that? We can be doing this with our spouse. Constantly be looking at the bad things. We can be doing this with our friends in the church. Constantly be looking at the wrong things. And the things that they are not up to it. We can be doing this with our neighbors. We can be doing this in the company, in the office. This happens a lot in the company. I mean, always the employees are, you know, talking about their company in the bad way. But never one good thing like that the company has done for them. I'm not saying that they should be talking about it. It is true, there are most of the things that they do bad, but there are also good things that they do. But God forbid we talk about that. And you know, this same attitude, my point is that same attitude we bring in every relationship, every friendship, among our spouse, among our kid. And we should fight this with all we have, because this is not maturity. This is baby stuff. This is like being kids in the faith. And this is definitely being kids in the faith, as we'll see in the next verses. But we are to constantly look and to be thankful for the things that God has given us and what we have received from people. Now the Bible says, what is it that you have not received? What is it that you have not received? And that is such a true statement. There is nothing in your life that you have received without the input and help of other people. And of course, God. There is nothing. Right? Someone taught you how to eat. Someone changed your diaper, right? Just like we did for that children. Someone taught you how to read. Someone taught you how to ride a bike. Someone taught us, right? Everything. Teachers taught us in the school. And the same thing goes on and on and on. There is nothing we have received. There is nothing we have that we have not received. Then the Bible says, then why do you boast as if you have not received? And that is a sin, right? We boast as if, you know, we are the ones. But it is just not true. Then in Romans 1 verse 20, this is a very shocking verse. And this is a very sobering warning also. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So see, the first thing that goes out as humanity falls into depravity, the first thing is thankfulness. Man has rejected the goodness. has rejected to acknowledge the goodness. He enjoys the goodness, but he has rejected to acknowledge who has his given this goodness. He doesn't want to acknowledge that. He just wants to enjoy it, but he does not want to acknowledge who has done this. God is the one who is the creator of this world. He owns this world. Okay? Everything that is in this world is his. And in fact, the Bible says that you have brought nothing into this world and you will take nothing out of it. God will make sure that you will take nothing out of it. So this everything belongs to God. And man is not thankful. And so what happens? But it became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. And you know, this is the scary part. An unthankful person, will eventually become distorted in his thinking. He will not be able to think properly. He will not be able to reason properly. He will become an unreasonable man. You can't reason with them. And his heart is darkened, he's foolish, and it's almost like a beast. A good example of this kind of a person is in Luke chapter 17 verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourself unto the priest." And he came to pass, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. Loud voice glorified God. I mean, you could tell that this is a thankful person. And fell down at his feet, on his face, at his feet. Wow. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. There are not found that return to give glory to God. I'm sorry, I missed one verse. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." So out of 10, only one returned and gave thanks. And you know, God noticed this. And he said that, where are the 9? Where are the other 9? So he was, of course, the question is left open, and it for us to figure out that they don't want to thank you, right? They don't want to thank you. So these are the people who are the kind of people that though they know God, okay, though they know God, yet they are not thankful. You know, that is the most important thing. It's not people who don't know God that are falling into this trap and then they are in a depraved mind and depraved heart. It is the people who know God, like this 10 lepers who were cleansed by Jesus Christ. They were made whole, but only 9 returns. And we don't want to be that, right? We want to come back. We want to tell Jesus, thank you. And that all that Jesus has done for us, all that he will do for us in the future, we don't deserve it. We are like these lepers, right? And in those days, man, leprosy was such a terrible, terrible thing to have. They were outcasts. They could not come near. Probably they were living away from their family and their children. And to be cleansed from that condition was such a great thing. So maybe the other nine, maybe they thought that they deserved this anyway. You know, so they did not have a grateful attitude. So what is the purpose of saying thank you to God? What is the purpose of being grateful to God? First thing we see in these verses, you know, it is synonymous to glory, to giving glory to God. It is synonymous to give glory to God. So when I thank God in my prayers and in my attitude, when I'm thankful for what God has done to me, I'm giving glory to God. And that is the key. That is what we were created for. That is what we were made for. to give God the glory. Then in Psalm 69 verse 30, when we thank God, we magnify God in our life. We magnify God in our life. You know, God becomes big and everything else becomes small. And I would want that, right? To be God, to be big and everything else small. And that will happen when you start thanking God in your prayers. Then we thank God because He's a righteous God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. Thank God God is righteous, right? That He's not an unrighteous God. You know, there are some religions of this world that they believe that God has both goodness, holiness, and also unrighteousness and evil. I think Zoroastrianism is one of those religions. But man, that would be a terrible thing, right? And even Hinduism, I think, some gods and all, they are kind of fun, interesting in their character. But thank God that our God is a holy God. Man, He's righteous. And we can't even imagine how great His holiness is. And you know, that's the reason that one day everything will be righteous. That's what the Bible says. Like, we look for a heaven and a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's in Psalm 119 verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Because of their righteous judgments. Psalm 30 verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. At the remembrance of His holiness. Then we thank and praise God because of His goodness. Let me give one more line. Sorry. Yes, so we magnify God. I went to another topic because my notes got messed up. So when we thank God, we are glorifying God, we are magnifying God. And the third thing that I missed was that we also, you know, come to God with a right attitude. We come to God with a right attitude. You know, in prayer, and when we come to God, asking things for forgiveness or for cleansing us or anything that we need, there is a right attitude to come before God. And the Bible says it is an attitude of thankfulness. It's in Psalm verse 95 verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So there is a way to come in God's presence. We just don't come the way we want to come. We come into His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalm. Then Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So if I don't have thanksgiving, I'm thinking that He will not enter. Allow me to enter His gates. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm here, you know, saying all my prayers, but I'm not even there in His presence. So we enter His gates with thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So this tells me that God will not even hear my prayers. If I don't come to Him with thanksgiving. That is so important. Then fourth point is that when we are the purpose of giving thanks is, you know, this will make us alert and watchful in prayer. That's in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we see that Jesus always in his prayer, he thanked the Father first. Always. And of course, Paul always thanked the Father. And then he made request to the Father. So then what are the some of the reasons we thank God for? In Psalm 107 verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." That is a great reason to thank God, that he is a good God and his mercy endures forever. Right? He's not out there to hurt me. That's what I think of when goodness. Right? He's not out there to hurt people. He's there to bless people. In Lamentations 3 verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Then what I just shared a few times before, that the other reason to thank God is because of his holiness and of course because of his righteous judgment. Then Psalm 68 verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." That's a big reason to thank God. He daily loads us with benefits. Daily loads us with benefits. Maybe we may not be aware of it. We are not conscious of it. We don't acknowledge it because we are too busy thinking about what are the problems, right? But you know, he daily loads us with benefits. I mean, you can count so many things in the whole day, right? He gives us food, he gives us sleep, he gives us water to drink, he gives us, you know, beautiful weather to enjoy. So many benefits. So that's one of the things, you know, to be aware and to be thoughtful. That's the key to be a grateful person. You know, this does not come automatically. We have to be conscious, we have to be aware. We have to calculate. Man, there are so many benefits, right? And that's how gratitude will come. In Colossians 1 verse 12, "Give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Now, this is a big, big reason to give thanks to God, right? That he has made us partaker of his covenant. That he has made us part of his church. There are thousands and thousands of people who are living in darkness. They are beating the air. They are climbing the wrong ladder. Right? They are doing wrong things. Man, but you and I have the opportunity. People in the church that have been enlightened. You know, we have the opportunity to do the right thing. We have the opportunity to do the will of the Father, which will last for all eternity. This is a big reason to be thankful to God. Because he has made us partaker of the inheritance. Man, the inheritance will blow people's mind. Maybe now they make fun of it. But on that day, they'll cry. They will be like, man, this is something. And you know, that only a person who walks by faith, who believes the word, can see that. And for that, Paul was thankful. You know, he's writing these epistles from the prison. He's not like in some palace where everything is going fine. He's thanking God. He's thanking God for the inheritance from very difficult situations. So we need to consider our calling. You know, that should make us thankful. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1. 26. "For see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And that is an amazing verse. If we are part of the covenant, there is a great chance There is a very great chance that we are the foolish people of this world. There are many, many, much, much more wiser people and smarter people out there. Okay? And at least I know, I think it is true. But God did not choose them. So if you are in the covenant, there is a very, very great chance that you are one of the foolish peoples of this world. You are one of the weak things of this world. You are one of the base things of this world. You are one of the despised persons of this world. There is a very, very big chance. And out there are thousands and millions of people who are much, much more better than you, much, much smarter than you, much, much more higher position. But why did God do this? It says, God chose you and things which are not to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That was His reason. The reason He did that was so that He would get all the glory at the end of the day. And He would get that He will get that glory because people like us will be thankful to Him. Right? Because we realize that, man, we don't deserve these things. And that's when He will get the glory. But this is such an amazing verse to remember. That if you know the truth of the covenant, that you most probably are one of the base things of this world. And that should make us very, very, very thankful. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. This is such a great verse. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. And in Jesus Christ, there is only victories. You know? There is only victories. If you stay faithful, if you stay obedient, there is no way you can lose. You may lose some temporal things. But you know, at the end, you will be blessed. There is no question about it. And it is so true. We can look back on our own lives. And we have been through great difficult situations. And somehow we managed to slip out, right? Somehow we come out. And we're like, oh, okay, everything is fine. And this is great. This is victory. You know, we should remember those things. And what about the victories over sin? Man, in Jesus Christ, there is victories over sin. Left, right, and center. There is no habit, there is no bad thing that through Jesus Christ you cannot overcome. If you read the word, if you continue reading the word, if you trust in Jesus, you can overcome sin. And sin, what a bondage that is. What a misery, what a loss that is. Then in Psalm 18 verse 48, we are thankful to God because He delivers us from our enemies. So many enemies He has delivered us from. Natural enemies, spiritual enemies. And it could be true, you know, there may be so many things that God has protected, that God could have protected us from. From the physical, I would say, you know, maybe, what are the chances, you know, I don't get hit by a car? I mean, or what are the chances of I don't get into some bad accident? Maybe it may happen, but I just think that, you know, sometimes. Maybe God is the one who does not allow that to happen. How about so many spiritual curses, you know, so many spiritual bondages people are in. Man, all kinds of problems. And God delivers us from all these things. You know, God gives us victory over our enemies. In the Old Testament, thanking God was a very, very important part of their worship to God. In 1 Chronicles 23 verse 30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So the temple, every morning and evening, the Levites were supposed to praise and thank God. That's amazing. Every day, morning and evening. in Ezra, when they returned back and they laid the temple foundation, all the people, they say they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Man, you know, there is something about praise, by the way. If you are in trouble, if you are in difficult situation, if you start thanking God and praising God, there is a power that comes in you. And there is a grace that comes in you. And you know, in the Old Testament, many of the time before fighting the wars, they were told to praise God and to thank God. And that's why we see it is so prevalent in the Old Covenant. In Nehemiah 12 verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. In Psalm 140 verse 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. So surely the righteous, there is no doubt, the people who are righteous are thankful people to God. They have a heart of gratitude towards God and, of course, towards people also. David was a man full of praise and thanks to God. And you cannot miss this, right? So many psalms he's written just to thank God. There are, you know, 2-3 psalms over and over again is just thanking God, thanking God. And no wonder, like, he's called a man after God's own heart. Daniel. This is a very important verse. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So every day, Daniel, 3 times a day, this was his habit. He would kneel down and he prayed and he gave thanks to God. And Daniel was a very, very busy man, I would imagine, right? He was part of the government in those days. Paul, over and over again, I just can give 2 verses here. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. Philippians 1 verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Then Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see that when are we to give thanks? Always. Always. Like Daniel, right? Always. 3 times a day he was doing all his life. Even when the king said to stop it, he did not stop. Always. You know, that is the key we have to cultivate. Not sometime, always. Psalm 103 verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Man, forget not all his benefits. And you know, the only way we can do this always is if we forget not, right? If we forget not. So this tells me that it has to be a conscious choice. A conscious decision that yes, today I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to give Him gratitude. Show Him gratitude. You know, Israel forgot to thank God. I think this is the main reason that all they were left with was complaining and murmuring and what they didn't have. They did thank, you know, when they first came out of the land of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea through Moses. And then when they come on the other side, there is a whole chapter of a song of thanks to God. There's a whole chapter by Moses and Miriam. They are thanking and praising God. But, you know, after that, we don't hear of any thanking and praising God. So I think if you're going to eliminate complaining and murmuring towards God and towards people, we should have thankfulness. And if we have this, then, you know, those things will automatically go. So we don't wait for feelings to come. Because don't thank him when you feel good, when you feel nice. Thank him by faith. Thank him by faith. Because, you know, you're not told to feel thankful, you're told to be thankful. That's a big difference, right? Be thankful. Then he says, always, for all things. Man, and I think this is the toughest part. For all things. For all things, in all situations. For the good times and the bad times. You know, when I thank God for all things, one of the great blessing and why God gets all the glory is because we acknowledge that God is sovereign. That things are not happening in my life by chance. Right? Because, okay, good things we know, yeah, that's great. But the bad things, we are like, okay, is this by chance? Is this like something has slipped in without God knowing? But, you know, when I thank God for the good and the bad, for the good and the bad situation, when I thank God, I'm showing that God is sovereign. That God is the one who brings the bad also. One author says this, you know, Paul wrote this from a prison. One author says this, gratefulness turned his prison to a palace. But ungratefulness can turn your palace to a prison. Interesting, right? When Paul was thankful, you know, for him it didn't matter. Even if his prison was like a palace. But for an ungrateful person, man, no matter what happens, it is never going to be enough. And you know, that is what we should remember. Things of this world, it's not going to satisfy us. It is never going to be enough. It's always going to be the next best thing, the next beautiful thing, the next greatest thing. It's always going to be like that. So if you are thankful for what we have, we can be content. So for all things means even the evil and the bad that we receive. Job chapter 2 verse 10. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? This is very important to understand. Both good and bad comes from God. He is in control. Okay. And he is building character and patience, as we understood on Thursday, right? He's building character and patience in our life through bad times. And that is why for all things. And so that is the reason also the bad things that even the people do to us. You know, it should not like, how can that person do that to me? To be honest with you, that is also a baby reaction. I mean, I have done that many times, but a mature person will not say that, really. Because you know what he understands, shall we only receive good from people and not evil? I mean, it's very naive for me to think that I'm only going to receive good from people and not evil, right? A mature person understands that yes, he is also going to receive evil from people. Mark it down. Your wife is going to give you sometimes evil. Your husband is going to give you sometimes evil. But that's okay. You're a big boy, right? You can take it. And my friends are going to give me evil. My colleagues in the office are going to give me evil. And so what? Who am I, right? In one way, like, who do I think I am, you know? The Maharaja of Delhi or something, you know? Really, this is a baby way of reaction when people say, how can that person do that to me? I'm like, really? But you know, a mature person, he understands, that's why he's thankful. Like, oh, okay, he did that evil, but all the good things he has done, don't deserve. I can be thankful to that. So, in all things, in good health, in bad health, when I have no money, and when my bank is full, the bank account is full, or when my bank account is empty, you know, in all things, thank and praise God. And you will say maybe that's asking too much, but you know, that's how the people of God did. I just read to you the verses. I read Daniel, Paul, over and over again, he's thanking and praising God from prison. So there is no excuse. So, you know, there are four kinds of, there are four levels of people in this world. There is the people at the lowest level who are constantly complaining, constantly griping and whining. They don't see any good. All they see is the bad in life. There must be people around, but I think children of Nation of Israel is a very good example. After some time, they just saw the bad. Because they take the good completely for granted, and they keep magnifying the wrongs and the evil and the bad people and things they don't have. They concentrate on things that they don't have, concentrate on things what people have done for them to the nth degree. They magnify it and they keep magnifying it. That's the lowest you can get. Then there's the second level. These are people who don't constantly complain or whine, but they never give thanks anytime. They're never thankful. They're like, okay, so they're like, okay, God is giving and doing all this good for me because I deserve it, because I'm entitled to it. Okay. They're not thankful to people. They never say thank you, and they don't express it, because again they think that it is their entitlement, or maybe they are not aware of it. Right? They're just not aware of it. But you know, that's not an excuse, by the way. If you're not aware of it and we have not thought about it, it's not an excuse. So this is the second level of people. So this silence is also ingratitude, okay? To be silent about it is also ingratitude. The third level are those who thank God for the obvious good blessings. When they see the good things, they appreciate it. They're like, okay, great, God, that's good. And that's good to have. But you know, there's a fourth level. And the fourth level is what we just read. Ephesians 5:20. Always and in all things. The fourth level is these kind of people, they don't only thank God and are thankful to God and to people for the good, but also for the bad. Man, that would change everything, you know. Can you imagine, like, if I am thankful for the bad? Man, that's mind-blowing. I would never be in bitterness and envy and depression and anxiety and these things, really. Because why? Because even the bad is good for me, right? God is training me. God is making something out of me. And this is the fourth kind of people. This is the life changer. Man, this worldview will make you like the greatest person, I think. No? So God wants us to, in conclusion, God wants us to abound in these things. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. I like that. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. In conclusion, Psalm 116 verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? So this is a question the psalmist is asking. What shall I render to God? What can I do for God for all his benefits towards me? Then he answers his own question. He's in verse 17. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So, you know, this kind of attitude towards God and towards people, being thankful for everything and in everything, always, not sometimes when I feel like it, is going to completely bless you in many ways. Okay? It's going to only benefit you in many ways. Your health will improve, 101% proven. Even secular psychologists who are don't know God, maybe atheists, even they say this. They have this way of helping people who are in mental problems to be grateful people. Why? Because grateful people, again, you know, they're not concentrating on what they don't have, right? They're not concentrating on what people, all the bad that they have received from people. They're not concentrating on what others have and they don't have, right? All these set up for problems. But they are concentrating on, so that's, even the secular people, they say, they try to teach them, people who are going through problems, physical problems, to teach them to be grateful people. So mark it down. A grateful, if you are a grateful person and if I'm a grateful person, I will have no difficulty with bitterness, selfishness, self-pity, pride, and all these things. I will be a happy person. You will start feeling happy automatically. You will, your sadness will go away, right? And you know, sometimes, of course, we don't feel like, you know, we're jumping up and down, but we can have a thankful attitude towards God, especially sometimes when we are sick. I mean, this is not easy. By the way, this commandment is not easy, right? But you will benefit from it. And when we are sick, you know, that's the last thing that we feel grateful and thankful. But we can do that. Then grateful people become optimistic for the future. That's amazing, right? Why? Because this is of faith. They are thinking about the good things that God has given us. So they become optimistic. They are hopeful for the future. They are not like, oh no, I can't believe that I have to face the next month. I don't know what is going to happen. You know, they're not that way. They're not anxious and fearful of the future. Then they have good memory. They are alert people. They are alert of their surroundings because they are aware. Thankfulness and gratefulness comes through being aware always. So because of that, they tend to be people of being alert and more focused and organized. That's the other thing, that they are more focused and more organized. Their life is much more in order. Then they have a very deep sense of contentment. Man, that is important, right? If you want to please God, contentment. Then they have a great humility in their life. They are humble people. Grateful people are humble people. Grateful people don't suffer from stress and low blood pressure and all the medical problems. Of course, there can be other reasons, but it is proven that most of the problems that people are going through, the hospitals are filled with people, the medical shops are crowded all the time. I get scared, you know. I went yesterday with my wife to the hospital and the medical place, it was crowded like anything at 9 o'clock in the night. Even the medical shops were packed. I'm like, what are these? What medicines? These are so many people are buying in so many medical shops. You know, because all these things are happening because people are stressed out. They are like doing like crazy so many things and they are stressed out. And because of being stressed out, they fall sick. They need medication. So, I'll close with this verse. Psalm 6 verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In grave, who shall give thee thanks? Amazing verse, I think. Here the psalmist is, I think, praying that he does not want to die early. And the reason he gives, he doesn't want to die early. He says, like, if I die, God, if I go in the grave, who is going to thank you? Who is going to thank you? That's amazing, right? So this psalmist is saying that the whole reason he's alive and serving God is so that he can thank God. He can be grateful to Him. So that's how important this virtue is. Amen?